What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last year after year. Snag the hoodie that brings comfort for life. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20 at checkout.
Hi, I'm Kyrie Irving, and you're listening to the Mavs Step Back Podcast.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome in to another episode of the Mavs Step Back Podcast. I'm your host, Dalton Trigg. I wanted to come on here today and just talk about these last few Mavs preseason games. We're getting very close to the start of the regular season, about a week away now, a little over a week from when the Mavs will take on the San Antonio Spurs, first official game of the new season. That's going to be a crazy good game, I think, you know, with Victor Wembanyama and, you know, him growing to 8'6" or whatever he is now versus Cooper Flagg, Derek Lively, Anthony Davis, all those guys. So should be very fun to watch. Very excited for it. But before we get to that point, there have been some preseason games played. I wanted to just, you know, give my thoughts on what I've seen so far. Gonna do the last two. So, you know, they played the Hornets. Mavs played the Hornets over the weekend, ended up losing that game 120-116. Anthony Davis, he got a lot of flack for how he was playing in that game. He ended up in 24 minutes, he was 6 of 12 overall, missed both of his 3-point attempts, only had 12 points. 4 rebounds, 1 assist. But the biggest thing that he got, you know, knocked for is, you know, his effort, especially on the defensive end, ended up being a negative 24 in 24 minutes in what ended up being a 4-point game. Now, look, I get it. It's preseason. None of this stuff really matters, you know, if you get down to it. But you at least want to see a certain effort level coming from a guy who is coming off an off-season surgery, you know, for the detached retina. He's been out for a while. You know, he just recently started resuming on-court activities. So, you know, he's trying to work himself back into shape before the start of the regular season. And that was the thing. It was an effort thing. And I think most of Mavs Twitter, you know, they were getting on AD pretty heavy after that preseason game. And it wasn't, again, it wasn't about the counting stats. It was just more of an eye test thing. You know, when somebody is a negative 24 in a single-digit game and that negative 24 definitely meets the eye test, you know, it causes some criticism. And, I mean, look, it was warranted criticism too. So, again, it's preseason. It's not, you know, that big of a deal, but you can understand why people were visibly frustrated with AD's performance in that preseason game and the minutes he was out there. So, but the good news is, and we're gonna kind of just, you know, bounce back and forth between these two games. But last night, Monday night, the Mavs took on the Utah Jazz. They bounced back. They got a 114-101 win. And Anthony Davis specifically bounced back. So he played about the same amount of minutes, 25 minutes in that one. He was 8 of 14 overall, hit 2 of his 5 threes, a perfect 7 of 7 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. And he was a plus 10 with 25 points in those 25 minutes. Night and day difference for AD effort-wise in that game. Now, look, early in the game, there were a couple times where, you know, he was kind of loafing around and You know, I think he got blocked by Yusuf Nurkic at one point, which you hate to see. But, you know, he turned it on later on in that game. And, again, people are going to say, oh, well, it's preseason. And, you know, there were times where he wasn't playing, you know, the starters or what, you know, stuff like that. I get it. I completely get it. But I'm just saying there was a completely different effort level from AD in this last preseason game versus what we saw against Charlotte. And it was good to see. It's good, you know, and especially you can tell there's a big difference right now. I've already seen a handful of people mention it, and I was thinking it while I was watching this game last night, but you can already tell a big, big difference in AD playing the four versus the five. And, I mean, this is something we all kind of knew deep down. I mean, I get that he was playing the four when the Lakers won that title in 2020, which was 100 years ago, it feels like. But it's just a different situation. I mean, it unlocks so much more to have AD at the five, you know, to stretch the floor. And you could see that last night. The Mavs offense had so much more room to operate overall when AD was playing at the five. So it's a weird situation because, you know, they want to start AD at the four and have one of Lively or Daniel Gafford starting at the five. But I don't know if that's the best course of action. And you could always just start AD at the four and then move him to the five. But then there's always going to be at least one of those three centers that aren't going to be getting, you know, a decent amount of minutes. And if that's the case, then why are you paying Daniel Gafford $20 million a year and Anthony Davis $60 million or whatever it is, $55 million a year, and then Derek Lively, who's going to eventually have to get paid. So it's very interesting. It's interesting to watch because from the eye test, Anthony Davis is far more effective offensively, you know, at least. Defensively, he could play at the four if he wants to. I don't really care about that. You know, the defense is going to be stout no matter what just because of the overall size and length on defense. But, you know, I think the best course of action for this team going forward is to commit to AD at the five and probably have Derek Lively committed to the backup five off the bench. And then you can look to trade Daniel Gafford for some, you know, two-way guard help because you're going to need it. I mean, yeah, from what I've seen so far, and look, this is nothing, no disrespect at all to D'Angelo Russell or, you know, Dante Exum or Brandon Williams or Dennis Smith Jr., you know, Ryan Nimhard. No disrespect to any of those guys who have been basically the guards competing for minutes and spots in this preseason, but the Mavs have got to find a way to consolidate and, you know, get something in the backcourt that can realistically help you get through this time where Kyrie Irving isn't there. And I'm not saying what they have right now, you know, I'm not saying they can't patch and, you know, possibly do that with what they have now, but I would feel better if they would commit to AD playing the five and then to trade Gafford to get some guard help, you know, some what's the words, like some top tier or one of the top tier. It doesn't have to be all the way top tier, but just like maybe middle tier guard help. So, you know, I haven't even looked over all the potential guards that the Mavs could trade for, but, you know, I think that's probably the best course of action just based on what I've seen so far, because, you know, with everybody healthy, there's just so many cooks in the kitchen when it comes to the center position. So especially if you have AD playing there where he should be. So that's my thoughts on that. Speaking of centers, Derek Lively, he's been, you know, outstanding in the limited minutes he's been out there. In that Hornets game, he played 22 minutes in the first half. He had 10 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. You know, he was great. He was doing it all that in 22 minutes and was 5 of 6 overall. Now, last night, only played 7 minutes. Again, I mean, he did a pretty good job. He had only 2 points, but he had 6 rebounds and a block in those 7 minutes. Some people were wondering, like, oh, well, did he get hurt? I didn't see anything said about that in post-game or anything on the injury report or anything like that. I think it's just a matter of, you know, they were playing AD at the 5, and then if you're playing AD at the 5 – for 25 minutes, then, you know, you're not going to play Derek Lively at the 4 centers. You know, it's going to be really hard to balance all that. So that's one of my big takeaways from these last 2 games I've watched. All the stuff about Anthony Davis, it's overblown. You know, I'm not getting too worked up over any of that. I think he's going to be fine. He just needs to be playing the correct position. And he will benefit from that. The Mavs will benefit from that as a team. He may not like playing the 5, but that's where he needs to be. That's what's going to work out best for everybody. Some other observations. Cooper Flagg, absolute stud. He's superstar, in my opinion, from day one, from what I've seen so far. Like, he's got it. I cannot believe one of the biggest takes I have from this entire preseason. I can't believe that guy is 18 years old. Just like from a, not just his basketball IQ, but just like a physical standpoint too. He's just not built like a typical 18 year old. The way he moves, you know, he's, which is scary because, I mean, we've seen what happened with Victor Wembanyama and Derek Lively over this past offseason. They grew, you know, a couple inches from where they were last season. And, you know, Cooper Flagg, 18 years old, he still has 2-3 more years to get to where Lively and Wimby are. So, I mean, he could grow too. So there's still some stuff happening there. But he's so refined, it looks like, already. Now, the 3-point shooting could be better, but overall, like, his instincts are just great. Like, in that game against Utah, in the Mavs won, but he was only 3 of 13 from the field overall, 1 of 6 from his threes. But he hit all 4 free throws, had 11 points, 7 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Just a Swiss Army knife. Did a little bit of everything. So you love to see that. One of the things I absolutely love about Cooper Flagg is his intensity and his ability to never be out of a play. You know, even on, there was a couple times last night where you felt like Utah was going to get a fast break layup or dunk or whatever. And, you know, they did end up getting those at times, but like, you didn't, instead of it just being a given, you kind of had the idea a few times like, oh, Cooper might catch up to that and block it. Like, he's always lurking. Just when you think, you know, something's about to be an easy bucket for the other team, he's lurking. He's somewhere around there. He's going to get a block. He's going to get a steal. He's very active. He's very aware of his surroundings and where he needs to be at all times, whether he has the ball in his hands or not. So that's what I love about Cooper Flagg. And again, the 3-point shooting, I'm not worried about that. That's going to come. He plays so hard on the defensive end that even if the shot's not falling, like, he's still going to have a major impact on the game. So I've just been blown away by what I've seen from Cooper Flagg so far. And look, I mean, I think Mark Stein, he joked about it on Twitter the other day about making a bold statement that Cooper Flagg is the rookie of the year favorite. He's right. That's not a bold statement at all, obviously, but I mean, he's absolutely right. Cooper Flagg, I would be shocked if he doesn't make or if he doesn't win rookie of the year. I'd be shocked, honestly, if he didn't sneak into the All-Star game, because I just think he has that kind of talent at 18 years old. Even in the West, I think he's got that much talent. And once he's playing regular minutes, you know, he's only been playing around like 20 minutes a game so far in the preseason. Once he's playing regular minutes, I mean, you're going to see some really eye-popping numbers from him. And I can't wait to see how he closes out games too, especially close games like in the fourth quarter and stuff like that. But very excited about Flagg. I think that's going to be the biggest highlight of this upcoming season. No matter what the record ends up being for Dallas, I think we're all going to enjoy watching this dude play basketball. I've already enjoyed it, and none of these games have actually counted yet. So, looking forward to it. Okay, so another thing I wanted to point out, PJ Washington, he's always been in good shape. I don't want to like insinuate that he hasn't been in good shape in previous years. He definitely has. All I'm saying is PJ Washington looks leaner this year for some reason. Maybe it's just my eyes seeing that, but it looks like he's leaner to me. He's moving differently than what I'm used to seeing PJ Washington do. And again, it's not like he was moving bad before. It's just there's something different. It's like he's taken his level of conditioning and everything to a different level now. And so that's just what I'm seeing. He looks leaner to me, looks stronger, and he's moving differently. And I like what I'm seeing out of his handles too. No turnovers in that game against Charlotte. And then in the game against Utah where he started, he had 3 turnovers, but he had 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a block. So again, another example of, you know, you look down the stat sheet. I mean, that trio of Cooper Flagg, PJ Washington, and Anthony Davis, they're going to wreak havoc on people. You just look down there, Anthony Davis, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Washington, 1 steal, 1 block. Flagg, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Lively had a block. So, you know, you look at those stats, and I mean, it's going to be very hard. Now, sometimes it's going to feel like a rock fight offensively because this team lacks perimeter shooting at times. But I think the Mavs can win 50-plus games if they can keep up their defensive intensity, because they're going to, even on teams that shoot a lot of threes and hit a lot of threes normally, I think if they play against this Mavs front for a full 4 quarters, there's not going to be as much lift in those legs when it comes to the fourth quarter winning time. So I think the Mavs can definitely win a bunch of games the way they're currently playing. It just may not be pretty at times. One more thing I wanted to touch on, you know, we've been keeping an eye on the end of the roster stuff. You know, the two-way guys have been fun to watch. Ryan Nemhard in that Utah game was crazy good off the bench. And in 26 minutes, he had 12 assists to only 1 turnover and was a plus 14 in those 26 minutes. That'll do. That will do. He may end up, you know, being on the actual roster instead of Dante Exum, who has some sort of knee injury, I think, that came up out of nowhere. He just, you know, God love him. He can't stay healthy. So don't know what the future looks like with Dante Exum in town. He just re-signed, and the Mavs had to wave Omax Prosper in order to do that, which you hated to see, but you know, now he's injured too, and you don't know what's going to happen. So Ryan Nemhard, like what I've seen out of him. Miles Kelly, out of Auburn. You know, he can shoot the ball very well. I don't know how to say this guy. It's number 30. And that, look, forgive me for not knowing the I don't even think he's a two-way guy because there's only two-way slots already taken. But Musa Cissé, maybe? Is that how you say his name? I don't know. Don't crucify me for that. But number 30, he is long. He is relentless on the boards. He can block shots. I like that guy. I think at the very least, he should be, you know, getting that third two-way slot that the Mavs have. He's a bundle of energy, and he has all the measurements to be effective. You know, if not in the league, he definitely helped the Texas Legends. So, like what I'm seeing out of that guy. Dennis Smith Jr., y'all know he's my guy. I was so happy when the Mavs decided to bring him to camp. I don't know exactly what's going on there because, you know, he hasn't been playing hardly any this preseason. He's just getting these, you know, barely any garbage minutes here toward the end. I don't know if he maybe has something lined up past this preseason already with another team, and maybe he's just, you know, they're just trying to keep him from getting hurt. I don't know what the deal is, but it's not looking good for our dreams of having DSJ on the main roster going into this season. You know, it was nice to have him, you know, sign that contract and be back in Dallas for a little while, at least for training camp and preseason and all that. But unless something crazy happens here in the next week or so, it's not looking like it's going to go past training camp and preseason. But overall, I mean, look, I'm excited. I think given the situation with Kyrie recovering from his ACL tear, which is going very well, I think all things considered, the Mavs are in a very good spot. I think they're in a spot where most of the national media is probably underrating them. You know, but I think they're in a position to where they can go out there, play with a chip on their shoulder because they're being overlooked. And because of that, they're not going to have as much pressure on them. You know, like, for example, the Houston Rockets, they were the number two seed last year, and then they went out and got Kevin Durant. So there's a lot of pressure on the Houston Rockets this year, to perform, to be a contender right out of the gate. A lot of pressure there. And then on top of that pressure, you just had your starting point guard tear his ACL. So, you know, a lot of pressure on Houston. And I don't think that's the same case with the Mavs. You know, you traded Luka. Kyrie's out for a while. You still have a good roster, but it seems like everybody's just kind of overlooking you. And I think they will take that in stride. And I think they're going to, you know, probably get off to a really good start in the first month of this season, which will probably turn some heads and, you know, people will be like, oh, okay, well, maybe they can win a lot of games playing this kind of defense and not having a, you know, stellar offense or something like that. But I think it's going to be great. And I think Cooper Flagg is going to provide more on the offensive end than people realize too. But guys, I appreciate y'all joining me and listening to me ramble for a little bit. Some of my preseason thoughts for the Mavs. Be sure to go like, rate, and subscribe on all your favorite podcast platforms. If you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, that really helps us out. And then if you want to sign up for video pods, bonus pods, any kind of written content that we might do throughout the season, be sure to go to mavsstepback.com. And put your email in. It's free. The only time we'll ever have a paywall on anything is if it's some kind of super exclusive thing that we do, which is, you know, very rarely. But any kind of bonus content, pod or written articles, stuff like that, be sure to go to mavsstepback.com. Guys, we appreciate it. We hope you have a great rest of your day. Have a great week. And we will see you next time.